Senator Hughes, Senator Costello, Senator Bates, thank you all for being here. We have a quorum to conduct business. Before we start, I just want to thank all of you in the audience and who are listening, who are in education and in K-12 and dedicated to helping our students. I know you're going through a lot of turmoil right now with this $20 million cut you may be facing, but I appreciate through all of that that you are dedicated to helping our students and seeing that they get a proper education. Thank you all so much. Today we'll be hearing Senate Bill 30 relating to dual credit and middle colleges. Intention today is to roll this bill out, to get the conversation on the table, to hear from relevant agencies, the school districts, and other stakeholders, entertain any questions and discussions we may have on the bill, and take some public testimony if we have time, and of course then hold the bill for further review. Any questions or comments from the members of the committee before we start? We'll begin the Senate Bill 30 with Tim Lamkin to introduce the bill. Tim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tim Lamkin, staff to Senator Stephen and the Education Committee. Senate Bill 30 that you have before you is an effort to recognize the accomplishments of several in the neighborhood of 47 other states in the country establishing a state-sanctioned collaborative between the secondary and post-secondary education systems, encouraging students to finish high school, if not also college. There are several examples and data supporting this concept and related research demonstrating success of dual credit and middle colleges. I chose not to inundate the committee with that reading material. I certainly could, if you wish, but I thought I'd save that for a little bit later. The merits of the program aren't really in dispute. A lot of folks agree, or most at least, on its success in helping students accomplish their education. Of course, the devil's in the details, and particularly the financial structure as we move forward to determine how exactly to organize the transfer of funds between these institutions and the parties involved. Also, I want to point out the section that's going to be talked about is whether or not we have districts that shall participate in this statewide or may. That's going to be a key policy consideration for the committee. Also, of course, you may also hear references to mandates and whether or not they're funded. That's a perennial conversation. That concludes my very brief basic introductory comments, Mr. Chairman. I would note for the committee there is a fiscal note forthcoming. I have reviewed a draft. It's indeterminate at this time. It's still the language sections being put in final form. We should have that anytime a little bit later today. As a courtesy, I thought I'd share with the committee for the committee's information, Mr. Norm Wooten, the executive director for the Alaska Association for School Boards, has a keen interest in the subject but is unable to attend. As we move into testimony, you'll see he's not lined up to speak today, but you should have in your packets a letter from him dated in mid-November stating his concerns and that of his organization. Similarly, Dr. Jim Johnson, the University of Alaska president, is also very much interested in this subject but was unable to attend today. It's my understanding we should have online Dr. Paul Layer, who's vice president of academic students and research, on behalf of the President University, that's available for questions. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to entertain any questions you might have. Otherwise, be ready to go into the sectional.
Yes, if there are no questions, yes, please, Senator Birch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you briefly, how does this distinguish itself from an AP class, where advanced placement class that I'm familiar with that a high school student might take that would earn them credit or would be applicable in a college curriculum program. And I'm just not that familiar with how this would be different.
Through the chair, Senator Birch, I won't pretend to be an expert in this subject matter. I want to leave this to those that are the educators and administrators in the programs. Having been an AP student myself, I know that it does give you laurels in your diploma and your credentials. But my understanding, at least, is that it wouldn't give you outright credit for college courses. Now, I could be mistaken in that, but you're going to be hearing others speak to that very question.
And thank you, Senator, and thank you, Tim. I think the main difference is that it's more structured than just taking an occasional dual credit class. Students can do that now. They have done it successfully probably in every district in our state. But this is a more structured approach, which really allows a student to take care of to get their first year of college, maybe even the second year done when they're in high school. It's very successful, as Tim said, very successful around the country. More structured, it requires more counseling, so students know what they're doing, and there really is a goal towards a degree completion. It does also, I think, an issue that I've noticed is not included in some of the testimony we're going to be given. It really addresses the issue of students who enter the University of Alaska and are not prepared, and they have to take, I shouldn't say bonehead English, but that's what they called it when I was in college, you know. This makes students entirely prepared to enter college. So I think that's the main difference, Senator. Any further questions? Yes, Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Lankin, just looking, you brought up the issue of the shall and the may, and that just sort of opens up an area that I do hope we address with the bill. I do support the concept. And there's two things I'd like you to think about as we go through the process of developing the bill. The first is, the issue that's brought up by Superintendent McManus in the letter from the Gateway School District, which is, does this become some form of a mandate to the districts that they simply can't afford, especially in light of yesterday's supplemental announcement? There's some issues about at what level the final budget will have for education support to districts, and I think that's important. But there's a secondary issue here too. Even if you do make it a may clause, it could lead to disparity in the long run if indeed school districts in our harder to serve areas and those areas that have the higher energy costs that completely erode their ability to provide instruction find themselves not being able to avail themselves of the middle school program, while those that are our wealthier districts or wealthier areas do. That seems to me to be something we have to talk about here to ensure that it doesn't lead to some level of disparity between what's offered students in an area of less affluence versus those with more affluence. So I think that's something to consider. I actually think that's solvable, and so I want to work with the sponsor and with you and figuring out how we do that. But those are two concerns. I really appreciate you bringing up the shall-may conflict, and I just hope that we will consider those in the process.
Thank you, Senator Begich. If I could address that, it is an important issue, and I'd be hesitant to say may. I think it's important that we say it shall be done. And we've heard from districts that have done that, both in Anchorage and in Matsu, and then shortly in Kodiak, that that they can do it under their present foundation formula. That in fact, Matsu and Senator Hughes just we were talking about this earlier. Matsu has found that it's a money saving thing for them. They pay the university for the classes, but they don't need to have as full a faculty as they may have been required before. So the other issue that I would like to say is that a district that can't do it simply has to make a report. Why? Why have you not been able to have this program in your district? And if it's a matter of money, that's all we need to know. They simply couldn't afford it. But you're right. I mean, kids in Shishmaref deserve to have an opportunity to get to college education as well as kids in Anchorage. So I think you're right on about that equity and fairness in the system. Thank you, Senator. Yes, Senator Hughes.
Thank you, and I appreciate this conversation because I think it is a great opportunity, and I too share with Senator Begich the concern about how it might work with rural students, but I might bring something we talked about back into our minds for the last couple years. We talked about a virtual education system throughout our state where school districts would share open seats and slots in classes and give our rural students an opportunity to have be in a live two-way video conference classroom with our cream of the crop teachers in other parts of the state. And I think that could be incorporated also into this, into the university system. That would be ideal. Because one of the questions I had is the bill requires a student to pick up the tab for the books and the materials, but housing might be a situation for a rural student if he or she is coming into one of the urban areas. That's quite a cost. But if we could have a virtual education, a robust system, that would help solve some of that problem. So I just thought that should be part of this conversation, and I still believe that should be something this state works toward.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. It is true that in the bill, it does require the districts to pay for the university tuition but does leave it to the students to pay for books, fees, and transportation. But I would say that the districts I've talked to in Matsu and Anchorage and also in Kodiak, they're going to pick up that cost of transportation. But the books and fees are another issue. Yes, Senator.
And so I did have that question because it's, I'm not sure, did it use the may or shall for the student picking up? Because I think the district's having that option. And then is there maybe a fairness issue across the state, too, if some districts would and some wouldn't. So I think that needs to be part of the conversation also.
Certainly. Thank you. And we also need to get something from the university when we get to that point about what are those fees. I mean, if a student is in Shishmaref, do they really need to pay for the athletic program in Anchorage and Fairbanks, you know? So we will need to talk about fees as well. Yes, Senator Costello.
Yes. Thank you very much for introducing the bill. Just in general, I'm very much an advocate for options for students and families to meet the needs of the students. And my only question is about what this looks like. Is this, I mean, I realize that right now students can take one or two classes at the college campus and there's an agreement, or maybe that's what middle college is. But as I read the bill, this almost appears that the student becomes a college student. Is that where they're basically spending their time at the university? Is that how this was envisioned?
No, not exactly, Senator. The student would be a student of the district and would be allowed to go onto campus, say in Anchorage or in Kodiak, and take a college class, as many classes as they want to take. But they are still a college or a high school student, so that they participate in athletics. They can participate in prom and all of those things. They're still a member of their class, so it's not taking them out of the high school. It's allowing them to have this opportunity to get some credits, and I think parents need to be involved in this as well, because, you know, when I think of my daughter, my oldest daughter went to Gonzaga, which is now $50,000 a year. If I had known she'd been able to get the first 2 years done at in her high school, I would have been very encouraging of her to do that. So I don't know if that answers your question, Senator, but I think.
Yeah. I have a follow-up.
Sure.
So my example has to do with math. Say there's a student who enters high school and they're on an advanced math track, and they find that the class at the university serves, you know, their needs, and it may not be offered at the high school level. Could they leave then for just the math portion and be a part of the middle college and then, return to the school and spend the majority of their class time in the high school with only one or two classes at the university level?
Yes, absolutely. They would not be leaving the high school. They'd still be a student in the high school. They'd take as many classes as they want. But I think this also addresses the issue of what's it called, senioritis or something, where often the last year of high school is sort of wasted and fun. And I think it gives students who intend to go to college a good opportunity to spend that last year seriously studying subjects. Thank you, Senator, for the questions. Okay, well, that was a great discussion, and we'll remember these things as we move through the presentations. Tim, anything further you would like to say? Are you going to do the sectional analysis for us? Yeah. I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
So the sectional, this is for version U, as in uniform, before you. Section 1 amends current statute regarding an annual report submitted to the legislature by the State Board of Education and Early Development to include in that report a current summary of activity in the middle college program in the state. Section 2 adds a new Article 15 to AS 1430 relating to educational programs for pupils regarding dual credit. Subsection A of that would establish the middle college program for eligible students in high school and the University of Alaska. B establishes some baseline eligibility requirements for students to be involved in the program. That would include that they've completed the 10th grade. That is to say they're in 11th or 12th grade, that they haven't already received a diploma, and other requirements that would ultimately be set in regulation. Subsection C there requires every school district in the state to participate in the program. That's the shall section versus the may, making dual credit available to eligible students. It's also in that subsection where it specifies that the school districts would pay for the tuition or fees associated with that course. And on a side note here, Mr. Chairman, you're going to be hearing some more detail about how those monies, what those fees are, the definitions of tuitions, course fees, and so forth. That's going to be coming up from the folks that are testifying here shortly. That the student would be responsible for other maybe lab fees or art supplies or that sort of thing that might be associated with the class, books and transportation. Subsection D there holds harmless school district's ADM, their average daily membership, when it comes time to calculate their school funding. So the student would be recognized as still part of the school district, regardless of whether or not they're in the dual program or not. Subsection E allows for University of Alaska and individual districts to share the transcript information for purposes of helping determine their eligibility to participate and for determining that they've completed the courses satisfactorily and are eligible to apply the credit toward their diplomas. And then subsection F there aligns the existing definition of what it is a school district in our state. And then finally, subsection 3 there changes its conforming language. It allows for the universities, includes in their general powers and duties an allowance for them to enter into contracts with the school districts to carry out the purposes of the middle college program. Mr. Chairman, that completes the sectional.
Thank you, Mr. Lankin. We'll move on then to testimony, but yes, please, Senator.
And I don't know who you have coming up, so I don't know if this question is best for Tim or someone who's going to be speaking. But I'm wondering two things, whether Anchorage, Matsu, and Kodiak are concerned about the reporting. Is that going to be data easily collected and reported, or is that going to be burdensome? And secondly, why not allow highly motivated 9th and 10th graders to begin, and why? Is that a national standard? I noticed, I think Anchorage School District maybe had a student who got a bachelor's, and I was wondering, did that person squeeze that in 11th and 12th grade? I was wondering, there's some kids at 9th and 10th grade who could be as ready as an 11th grader.
A very good question, Senator Hughes, and we'll ask the districts to let us know how that works, how it has worked in the past. I don't know the answer to that, but I can tell you that in talking to superintendents, they have indicated that Superintendent Ledoux has indicated that this would have to start very early in a child's career in school to make them aware that this is an opportunity for them. So I think we'll hear that actually when we get to Melissa Halfman, a principal from the Kodiak Middle School, who will talk about those issues as well, preparing children to take advantage of this when they become a junior or a senior. Anything, Tim, in response to that you'd care to say?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hughes, I think you'll find that spoken to from those specific school districts that are coming up. They are all three signed up to testify shortly. I think that is perhaps certainly a policy consideration if we want to soften the minimum baseline requirements. If we have an occasional Leonardo da Vinci type student that comes along, we might want to set that up in regulation to allow for those particular talented students to participate.
Very good. Thank you for the question. Thank you, Tim. Let's move on then to Paul Prusing from who's the project coordinator, Department of Education Early Development. Paul, if you'd come forward, please.
Thank you for being with us, sir.
For the record, my name is Paul Prusing. I'm the acting project coordinator for the Department of Education Early Development. Tim, as usual, did an excellent job in the sectional analysis. I don't know if I can add too much to it, but from the department's perspective, this is, as Tim mentioned, Section 1 amends a report that the state board does to the legislature. It adds three data elements for the board to gather from the university, so it has no fiscal impact on the department whatsoever. And that's really all I have to speak to. I'm here for questions.
Thank you. Senator Hughes.
Was this, Paul, thanks for coming today. Was this a recommendation of the Alaska Education Challenge? Was this one of the, I'm just curious if it was one of the recommendations.
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, You know, the Alaska Education Challenge, you know, it has 13 recommendations, you know, three commitments, and one of the five goals now that came out of that is CTE dual credit. So it has more of a CTE slant, but anytime we can increase educational opportunities, I think that is part of the Alaska Educational Challenge, as Senator Begich pointed out. Ensuring that all districts have that equity and access to these classes is important.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you very much, Paul. Ms. Butler, Stephanie Butler, thanks for being with us, Stephanie, Executive Director of the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education, and you'll notice in your binder that Stephanie has provided us with a slideshow. Thank you for being with us. And for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning. For the record, Stephanie Butler, Executive Director for the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education, and thank you for the privilege of addressing this body. Today I'm going to provide a very high-level summary of programs that create bridges from high school to college in Alaska. ACPE's nexus with middle college and dual enrollment programs is really around financial aid questions and the coaching and services that our outreach team offers to students and families. So we don't have expertise in middle college per se, but we do have a lot of experience in connecting students and families and interested parties with questions about middle college and similar programs to the experts. And I'd also note that we're very fortunate to have Senator Hughes as one of our commissioners serving on the commission. So I'll go ahead and go over the ACPE mission, how and where we have nexus to middle college programs, the benefits of these programs, the barriers of, that we're aware of, the services offered to help support students trying to bridge high school and college education. And jumping right into that, ACPE's mission is to promote access and success in higher education, both college and career training. We offer five primary programs listed here. And in a minute, we'll talk about the nexus between these programs and dual enrollment or middle college programs. And one thing I'd like to note is the difference between middle college and dual enrollment. We throw around a lot of terminology here, and as I actually started writing out the definition, I realized that I'm doing it myself in the presentation, using different terms to mean the same thing. So a dual enrollment program is any program that allows a student to earn college credit while still in high school. Thus, middle college is itself a subset of dual enrollment programs. Middle college specifically is a collaboration between a student's high school and a local college that provides for student cohorts to enroll in the local college and earn college credit. Students generally attend the local college credit, local college campus with traditional college students, but with very specific supports from their high school. Many states describe their middle college programs as a high school embedded into a local college campus. Students have to apply through their high school to get into a middle college program, and middle college students are generally able to graduate with both a high school diploma and an associate degree at the same time. And the overarching term for programs that help students bridge the gap between high school and college are bridging programs. And just a note on ACPE that we're funded by the Student Loan Corporation. We don't receive general fund appropriations for the mission activities that we perform. This slide lists our five programs and the nexus with middle college, and you'll see it's mainly informational and providing students access to the informational resources and sometimes the financial aid that they need in order to move forward with their high school to college goals. There are a number of dual enrollment programs, including middle colleges, already existing in Alaska. And this slide summarizes the bridging programs offered by Alaska post-secondary institutions. Middle college programs are operated, as you know, by school districts. Anchorage and Mat-Su both have middle colleges, for example. And post-secondary institutions in the state also offer a number of options to high school students. The University of Alaska, for example, has a number of options ranging from direct enrollment into college classes to some of the award-winning specialty programs such as ANSEP or the Delakeets program. I won't try to walk through them because we have UA experts here who can do so much better than could I, but suffice it to say there is a diversity of options available. APU, Alaska Pacific University, has an early honors program that allows students to complete high school at APU while enrolled in an APU degree program and earning college credit. These students can actually live on campus at APU. It is not a middle college program. It is a standalone program. So it doesn't have the structured high school supports that a middle college program would have. Ilisagvik College in Gjagvik has a dual enrollment program for North Slope Borough School District juniors and seniors, which allows them in a very structured way to earn up to 10 college credits for which a college class at Ilisagvik replaces the high school class. And AVTEC has quite a unique program. It's a maritime training center that offers U.S. Coast Guard approved training to high school students so that the students graduate with both a high school diploma and a credential as a merchant mariner, which allows them to be immediately employable. Some of the other bridging or dual enrollment options available in Alaska include International Baccalaureate, or IB. IB is available at West High and at Palmer High. West High is in Anchorage. IB is an international program. It's headquartered out of Geneva in Switzerland, and it provides high school students around the world with very specific, rigorous academic curriculum in their high school. And in the United States, IB students, or students who actually earn the IB credential, may qualify for up to 30 college credits, depending on their grades and depending on the receiving college's policies. CLEP testing is also an option. CLEP stands for College Level Examination Program. It's a program offered by the College Board, the same folks who offer the SAT, and it allows students to demonstrate college-level mastery of a subject by taking a standardized test. Assuming they pass, the students can be awarded college credit for that subject. And there's an amazing diversity of subject matter for which CLEP tests are available, ranging from basic English to advanced calculus and chemistry, just a wide variety there. There are a number of summer college programs in Alaska with a large variety offered by the University of Alaska. There are also for-profit organizations that offer summer travel programs and summer academic camps, those kinds of things that students can get college credit for depending on the receiving institution again. AP testing or advanced placement is available in Alaska. It's also a College Board program. And AP classes are offered in the high school. They are academically rigorous, and they conclude with a specialized test. Students who pass the test may be awarded college credit, and they may also be awarded advanced placement when they get into college. It's not necessary that students take the class in order to take the test. And the last kind of group of options available in Alaska is internships, and these are programs for high school students, often over the summer. That allow them to potentially earn college credit while they're working. The University of Alaska, again, has a number of programs, and some of our native corporations offer a number of programs.
Stephanie, before you go on, just a question. It's very impressive, many of the programs that we've known about for some time through Alaska Pacific, through the University of Alaska, of course, but the Ilisavik, AVTEC, IB, CLEP, Summer College, all of those things. This bill on early college in no way impacts those programs, I don't believe. Would you agree with that?
I don't see any impact on those programs.
So these would continue to be and continue to exist and continue to be successful. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. So this next slide summarizes the potential benefits of this variety of bridging programs. And I'd call your attention to the last two I thought you'd be particularly interested in. We see that boys are traditionally underrepresented in these kinds of programs, as are low-income students. So when we're able to enroll boys or low-income students in these programs, the benefits that accrue to these populations just accrue that much more quickly. And that these programs can include both collegiate and CTE tracks. And we know, of course, that CTE is so important to Alaska with our need for Alaska CTE-trained students to become Alaska workforce members.
And excuse me again, Stephanie, before you go on. The one issue, I inarticulately called it bonehead English, but I really should have said remedial education. That seems to be a major benefit of these programs in that they should reduce the need for remedial education. One of the things we often hear from the university, and we we get tired of hearing it all the time, is that we send students from our high schools that are totally unprepared to enter college, and they wind up dropping out or not finishing and being a waste of time, a waste of money for them. But would you say that that's one of the benefits of this program, is to help solve the remedial education issues we've faced?
Thank you for the question, Senator. I did some boning up myself yesterday by reading up on the research into middle college programs. And one of the findings is that the structure of a middle college program, where a student has all of the supports that are available to a high school student while they're taking a college course, are very effective, and sometimes more effective than a student going to college and enrolling by himself. And for that reason, students are more likely to be successful. And when they run into bumps like, I need some remediation, they have resources to assist them in the middle college structure, where they're still high school students and still have access to their high school counselors.
Thank you, Stephanie. Any further questions? Thank you very much. Ms. Gohan.
So there are also a number of barriers to bridging program participation, and I'll walk through each of those briefly. In terms of financial considerations, many programs require the student to pay college tuition as well as to buy textbooks and incur similar college costs. However, if the student isn't enrolled full-time in a degree program, federal and state financial aid generally is not available. And I'd note specifically that the Alaska Performance Scholarship, for example, is only available to high school graduates, so it's not available to high school students who are enrolled in college. Also, many of the financial aid programs, state and federal, have a limit to the dollar amount. And so if the student is using those programs in high school, they may be exhausted before the student finishes college.
Thank you. Senator Begich.
Thank you. Stephanie, you just made triggered a thought in my mind that, of course, we have, you know, the program now that, you know, provides the scholarships, and you've presented on that in the past. But is it possible we could look at maybe something in the bill that would allow students who applied to be in middle college, took advantage of that, maybe a grant program that would draw from the existing scholarship program, and so would offset the costs for those low-income students that may not be able to afford to participate in a middle college program? Is that something that would make sense? That could that be tooled? With I mean, you have to deal with that program, so could that be tooled into this into our into that scholarship program, perhaps some kind of grant program?
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Begich. Be happy to look at what options are available and to do some analysis and provide some feedback.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Yes, sir, please go ahead, Senator.
I'm just again thinking off the top of my head that poses the possibility of one way to offset some of those issues I brought up earlier, and to reduce the, you know, passing on the burden, as it were, and that potential disparity argument. So maybe that's a way to look at this and see if that's something we could explore.
Yeah, very, very good point. And as we know, anybody who's taken a college class in the last few years, textbooks are sometimes $100 or more, and that would be a really very difficult for low-income students. Senator Hughes.
Thank you. Stephanie, I'm wondering, I know Alaska Performance Scholarship, Alaska Education Grant, Alaska Student Loan would not apply to an early college student. But what about private scholarships that students apply for? What about, and I'm not sure the status right now, I'm understanding that active duty military, their kids, and maybe even some retired, their kids are eligible for aid related to college, and I don't know if that just falls under the federal umbrella, so they're not eligible. But I'm just wondering if there's anything outside of what Senator Begich was talking about, an overall grant as far as individual scholarships that might be available for students, and particularly regarding the children of active duty and retired military.
Did you have a response? System?
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually, and you know, put it on the table, I actually run a scholarship program, and for people looking for careers in education or public service, this actually would fall. It's a private scholarship program. This actually would fall under that grant program, and a kid could apply for, I mean, it's based on, you know, ranking and merit and that kind of thing, but they could, in fact, apply for this. So that's a partial answer to your question. I there would be no prohibition on it.
Thank you, Senator Baker. Thank you, Senator Hughes. Response, Stephanie?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Hughes, be happy to look up the scholarships and provide that information to you.
So. Very good. Thank you.
So moving on, there are also academic barriers. These are college programs, so students need to be prepared to do college-level work. And the grades in these programs impact the student's collegiate GPA and are on the student's college transcript forever. And grades can also impact future financial aid eligibility. And there are sometimes informational barriers. Students are bombarded with information from various sources, some of it more accurate than others. And making good choices when you're 17 is hard enough all by itself. When they're complicated choices, it's just that much more difficult, especially with some of the newer programs that the parents haven't experienced. So the parents don't have the ability to advise their children well, not having been through these programs themselves. I'd note, again, relative to these kinds of barriers, all of them, the financial, the academic, the informational, that middle college is an option that tends to minimize barriers because the students remain in that structured high school environment at the same time that they're taking college courses. They're with a high school peer group. They have high school advisors who know the program, who know the students, who are very familiar with working with 16 and 17-year-olds. And the students also do not incur all of the costs that they would if they were enrolling without the middle college program. So just summing up, really, the commission can provide more information and can provide students and parents with connections to the right folks who can answer their questions and help them out if they're exploring bridging programs, including middle college. We offer both in-person and telephonic assistance. We have a planning tool, AKCIS, which is available statewide and also through their school district, where students can look up individual scholarships, and we will identify which ones are available to students who would be pursuing these programs. And with that, I'd just leave contact information. I've got my contact information here, and our legislative liaison and executive secretary, Patricia, is here. Our director of outreach wanted to be here, but she is actually at the outreach event. So with that, I thank you again for the opportunity to present this information, and I'd be happy to respond to questions with the caveat that I'm not an expert and may have to refer you on elsewhere.
Thank you, Stephanie. Senator Hughes?
The coaching and assistance that you could offer to early college students, is that the traditional counseling as far as what to sign up for, what degree you're seeking, or is it actual math tutoring or help with writing an essay? What kind of coaching and assistance?
Through the chair, great question. Thank you, Senator Hughes. Our Success Center staff and our commission staff are not experts in academic counseling, so we don't advise students on what to sign up for. What we do is connect them to the experts, and we find that for a large majority of our students, especially our low-income students whose parents haven't had the experience of going through programs, they have no idea where to start. So we get them started down the right road to connect with the right experts, and then we offer them an opportunity to check back with us and find out, am I on track or not? And if they're not, we can get them back on the right track.
And follow up?
Yes, please.
And so would that also include connecting them with a tutor, for instance, if they're having trouble in math?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, where we can, where we're aware that there are students, tutors, we will make that connection. We'll also connect them to their high school counselor or their college academic advisor who can connect them further to tutoring.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Birch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Obviously, a middle school program, is there a presumption that every high school is going to have an associated college campus in the vicinity? And, you can add up the number of college campuses at least with the UAA, and obviously I think you mentioned Avtech and others. But is there a distance learning option here? I'm just not that familiar with how much flexibility there would potentially be in the program for a high school student in a location that does not have a college campus if they can participate in this program, through the chair.
Oh, through the chair, Senator Birch, thank you for that question. I'll have to refer you to Mr. Lamkin. My understanding is that the bill provides for a distance delivery of this programs, but I have enough knowledge to tell you something that's really wrong. So I'd like to ask Mr. Lamkin to confirm that, please.
Thank you, Stephanie. Well, the university does many extension programs throughout the state. We do have a problem with having access for all the communities, but maybe when we talk to the university, we can really get into the details on that. Thank you, Senator Birch.
And follow up?
Yes, please.
On the voc-ed component, I was very intrigued by the idea of the students in Seward with at Avtec with the Coast Guard credentials. That's a great program. I wasn't aware of, but when you talk about international baccalaureate, is that actually a completed degree program, or are those credits that are attributed toward a follow-on program in a secondary institution?
Through the chair, Senator Birch, the IB is a credential that's awarded to high school students. It's not a college credential. It's an international credential, internationally recognized credential, that documents that they completed a highly rigorous academic curriculum. And there are a number of colleges throughout the United States that will award up to 30 credits to a student who's got that IB credential.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Birch. And I'd encourage you to go to Seward sometime and go through that program, because they will show you. I mean, you're like standing in the cabin of a ship, going through into Valdez, and you really get a sense of what these students have to know to pass that program. And they do then become a part of the Merchant Marine fleet. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just would echo Senator Birch's comment about the really looking at Senator Hughes' suggestion about distance learning and how that could be integrated into this more effectively. And that means that as we move this bill forward through the process, also going back to those concepts that were in, what was that, SB 96 last mm-hmm. year? Yeah. Some of those concepts that were embedded in SB 96 that we that had broad support in the building, I think we should be looking at, because I think these two kind of complement each other very well.
Great. Thank you all very much. No further questions. Thank you, Stephanie. Appreciate your being with us. So we'll move on to Dr. Dina Bishop, who is the superintendent of the Anchorage School District, and she is in Anchorage right now. I'll be on the line with us. Is that right, Tim?
Thank you.
Thank you,
Senator
Dr. Bishop.
Stevens.
Thanks very much for your being with us, and please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I just appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today and reference to the Middle College, but as well as all other opportunities. There's been several terrific ideas that have been shared, and they are all bonuses for our kids. So I want to start with that, and I'm going to this is my third year in the Anchorage School District, and the second year that we've been able to have a middle college. In my experience, I was the assistant superintendent of MATSU when we began looking into the middle college concept. And my first year as superintendent there, I was a superintendent there for 5 years. We began the first middle college, and it's just grown in its success since. And I'm going to provide some information that I had previously provided to the House and Senate Education Committee to provide a backdrop, and it might answer some of those questions that intuitively the Senate Committee has shared. So to start, just to understand our landscape and where I presently am now, it's understanding your students and student groups. And the bigger picture of this is to just understand where each of our 53 school districts in Alaska are. And this really offers the opportunity for us to each look at ourselves and see how can we make middle college happen for our students. But it starts with looking at your students first and who you are. On slide 3, you can see that one of the biggest challenges in and really a challenge and an opportunity in Anchorage is really our language diversity. 80% of our kids do come to school speaking English as their first language. However, the other 20% have over 100 different languages. And I'm sharing this just to let you know that challenges among our Alaska school districts are unique, but really the support of this bill, I know that we can figure it out. We all have to recognize that who we are and the diversity and the challenges that are in our own district, we take a look at the plan. So this wouldn't be just for the middle college, but we should be taking a look at who we are and how do we allow our students their dreams and wishes, because I know that our students of a second language have desires for post-secondary futures in college or work as well. So that's the exciting part. If really taking a look at ASD, one of our biggest impacts and a variable for us was our economically disadvantaged students. So we take this in mind when we're designing instructional programs and opportunities for students. And the middle college excites me with this group. We have strong students whose families just sometimes don't have that financial capital or even the cultural capital to navigate colleges. And the middle college and the push towards that really allows us as a school district and a system to assist in navigating those waters, because it really is an opportunity for students in our state to do their best. Previously mentioned was the impact of CTE. A lot of times we talk about college or CTE. I hope folks understand the power of and both, because University of Alaska, for instance, is one of the largest suppliers, if you will, of career technical education. So this isn't about something, you don't do career tech outside of college readiness or middle college. It actually is combined with it. And understanding the words you used, Senator Stevens, were a structured approach. Certainly individual courses have benefit to students learning and just possibly learn hobbies and different skills. However, what we call concentrators or two or more semesters within a pathway in a particular construct, a structured approach to career and technical education really does provide success for students. The graduation rate in Anchorage for students who have taken concentrators in CTE is 93% compared to 81% overall. And it's especially important for the student group of students with disability. The impact of having career and technical education in a concentrator, you are planned out strategically taking courses to build skills and competencies. It does work. So here we are, a picture of the first middle college in Alaska Middle College, and this was originally part of the Mat-Su School District. As of late, last year, it became part of the Anchorage School District. But now the students from this school district did move into Anchorage after the earthquake, because this building was damaged severely. But it is a place for Anchorage School District juniors and seniors to complete their high school graduation requirements while simultaneously earning University of Alaska credit. Some of the questions were around, how is this different from IB and AP? It really is a school or a system where you're taking courses in sequence, whereas if I am an AP or IB student, I can still earn college credit and high school credit. The credit by the colleges can really go to any college that you wish, as long as there's an articulation between your score on an outcome assessment. So both IB and AP students have to take a college board exam, and if they pass, then the college for which they attend can accept that. Highly transferable. There is a thought and maybe some oversimplification that entering the middle college has higher level courses. That isn't always the case, because I want to guarantee you that some of our high school courses in AP biochemistry are much, much more rigorous than a chemistry course or biomedical course for which our students have access at UAA. So it isn't either or, it is an and in both, and it really goes back to what is the path of your student. And if you can provide opportunities, you know, for your student, what would that look like? So just want to share that really we are about choice and offering choices to students, and the IB and AP are still part of those choices. CT still continues to be part of those choices, as well as the middle college. Students are motivated. They want that experience of just finishing. Most of our middle college students like to just know that they can punch out, if you will, some of those early requirements, those general education requirements, so that they, a lot of times this year, they want to use maybe their scholarship money to complete their high school. It's really up to the student and what they'd like to do. Our students do continue. What we learned in our many years is that students who are even in the middle college still want a prom experience, still want to play sports. So our students are still, who attend the Alaska Middle College, still have an ID from their home school. They may attend games, dances, the like. They may even have language courses. We have several students who are in immersion programs in the Anchorage School District taking high levels of language, and they still go back to their high school to take that high level of language immersion where they wouldn't receive that at the university. So, again, we look at a model that just works. We can't promise anything, but we sure do try to break down the barriers for student needs. So our middle college is just a place-based model, which we desire to have the students on campus. For that reason, we did specifically make it for 11th and 12th graders. The 9th and 10th, if they are wickedly advanced, we certainly would consider that. But we found that we have the high level for 9th and 10th graders right in our high school. And we begin to think about opportunities for post-secondary back in elementary, back in middle school. We're not creating students of post-secondary or either in college or career in high school. It is a through graduation onto, we call it pre-K to 16. We're really excited about creating on-ramps and off-ramps for students to explore what they would like to happen in their careers. So it's dual credit, and again, there are two sides of the house, and this I want to just share, to really explicitly share with my fellow superintendents, that this is not the college taking over high school, and it's not the high school taking over college. It is a true partnership whereby each unit articulates the course requirements, the course transferability, and the rigor of the courses. So, it is a partnership, and you would look at your own institution in your local area and work with that partnership to find the best answers for your students. I wouldn't say that this is an unfunded mandate. I would say that this is maybe an uncomfortable opportunity, because it pushes us but I want to assure folks it's not scary, and that there are districts across the state that have worked through partnerships that we can assist in supporting all of our to provide the equity of students in Alaska for post-secondary. In our school district specifically, I appreciate Senator Hughes mentioning this. We do pay for fees, books, and transportation, and this all comes out of the base student allocation. It is affordable, and it allows us to do that. It also, even providing finances for purchasing credits, we also have the ability through the funds generated in this, by the student unit, the BSA rather, teachers and counselors and support. So the scaffolding on both sides works for our students. It isn't just sending them off. And even when we use, and I heard the CEO of IBM speak that artificial intelligence will never overtake a social service, really any social service, fire, police, government, schools. So we don't have to fear that, because we are a people institution, and the human, the social, emotional part of that will never leave us. However, we use the the online learning for the content and its people. So even using an online vendor, someone in the local community would still be that coach, that advisor, that support system for the children. And so I want to keep that in mind, that it isn't university taking over, online taking over. It is a true partnership among all the players. Just in our history, last year in 1 year, we had a little over 1,400 credits earned, and this was last year when we only had it at the Chugach Eagle River campus. We always take feedback from our families, and they let us know they would like the opportunity on the main campus as well. So slide 12 shares, I'm just moving through these, sorry, just shares that we have a Chugach Eagle River campus. We have an umbrella where ANSET falls under it, and this is just in the fall alone of this year, because I don't have this slide updated. 27 credits in the fall were undertaken by students in the Anchorage School District through the University of Alaska. One of our goals on slide 13 that we desire is to have the demographics of the Middle College match the demographics of Anchorage, our student groups. It was already shared that most females take a risk and move towards middle colleges. We have about 50-50. We'd like to see this balance, but we're on a good path to having our diversity of Anchorage represented in the middle college. Of course, we have 59% minority majority in Anchorage, but after our year, this is our year this year, and we're moving towards that goal. We spend time sharing and advertising this at church groups, at schools, community councils. We've learned that we have to go to where the families are to share the great opportunities in the Anchorage School District. The biggest power behind this is when we ask, when we know better, we can do better. So feedback is the breakfast of champions at ASD. And the information collected from students feel that they have an increased sense of independence and responsibility. They appreciate the flexibility in their schedules and the ability to get ahead in college. Again, their best resource was their teachers right back in ASD. So this is definitely a partnership between university and school districts. Senator Hughes mentioned this as well. The most challenging course is math, but they are aware of the resources. Interestingly enough, one of the goals for me as a superintendent and entering into a middle college was not only the availability to offer students the opportunity, but it was for me as a superintendent to get in there inside the university system, even as a regent, but on this side as well, to understand the complexities and kind of be a scout and a spy and understand how is it that we in K-12 can better prepare students for university or post-secondary in any field. Again, parents' feedback is just as important as their students, and they really said similar things. They enjoyed, they like that their kids have a college environment with a scaffold of support. It gives them a way to wade into the pool so they're not just dropped onto a campus by themselves after graduating high school. Again, the support from the high school level is significant. So I can't say enough, it is a partnership. And finally, just want to share, this was mentioned, we do have some graduates. These are graduates that actually took AP courses and advanced placement courses or IB courses right at our local high schools. So, and then moving through that, decided, well, I'm going to finish at the middle college. We don't have every IB and AP student choosing to go to the University of Alaska, nor do we have kids who have never taken an AP course. They're first-time college students. They've only been in general courses, not even honors courses, decide to take middle college. So we have successes. We have students who never thought they could have the dream of earning college and starting in college happen. And it really depends on where your students are, where your families are to make this work. Again, ASD and any other resources that we have, we would love to work together, provide resources, because I know that we have great districts around the state, and this bill provides an opportunity for us to get the work of equity done for our students. It is a huge asset for us to be able to provide college to our students. We believe in choice and success in life for all Alaska students. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Dr. Butler. Your enthusiasm is infectious, and I really appreciate what you've had to say. I know there are several questions, and we'll begin with Senator Begich and then Senator Hughes.
Just a couple of questions. Thank you, Dr. Bishop, for that presentation. I would remind folks that are in ASD that while you can fund this, and I'm glad that you can through the BSA, you have significantly lower energy costs than a tax base. In rural areas, there are significantly higher energy costs. It eats into the use of the BSA, and there's significantly less flexibility. So we just put that caution on the table. But I have two questions. You mentioned that graduation rates were higher, 93% versus, I think, 80 or 81% when you have a concentrator. But would you say that the concentrators are self-selected, those who choose to do the concentrators, or not? What is your experience with that, or do you have data on that?
Sure. Actually, that's a great question, Senator. We have data on students that try many, many different avenues. So they might do culinary arts or welding or a STEM field of, computer programming. And once they find a desire in their ninth and 10th grade year, we want those to be exploratory. Once we found that they've found a like or something that they really can get into, and they continue then in a construct, say they do welding or they do find that computer programming is it, and they can take consecutive courses and build competencies in those, they're highly successful. We're working now in ASD that another component of that is that once they find that concentrator, we can place them in the community in an internship. And allow them to find. So, of course, even with the middle college, it is totally self-interest. We want to support it. Our biggest challenge is sharing with students the many opportunities that they have. And in regard to the cost, I just want to say that presently in the CTE range, superintendents that I'm working with now in providing some opportunities for career technical as well as college courses, it isn't necessarily the finances. It's the ability to find people who can teach the courses that their kids are interested. So it really ties together into the two things that you mentioned, that they're highly interested. They can only afford so much. So they use partnerships to be able to broaden that aspect of their interest for their students. And again, middle college is not the answer for everyone, but I know that whether it's the CTE partnerships or middle college or partnerships among districts that are already happening, that, we've got great folks out there to help work to figure things out. But certainly it starts from the student and their interest.
And just very quick, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The other question I had was just on page 13, you have the graphic that shows the male, female, and then the ethnicity of those. Is it possible for you to also prepare one that uses the terminology used earlier in the presentation about economically disadvantaged and how that compares for those who are economically disadvantaged, the 53% or so I think you identify in the district and how they access the middle college program? I'd be curious to see that graphic as well.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great suggestion. And interestingly enough, Anchorage, I just wanted to share that the highest concentration of students are actually coming from East High School, which is our most diverse high school. So it's pretty enthusiastic for me, but we'll also provide the committee with the data on representation of our students, our low socioeconomic students. Absolutely.
That's superb. Thank you, Dr. Bishop. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Begich. Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to give a shout out to Kathy Moffitt, who under your leadership, Dr. Bishop, helped birth the middle college concept in Mat-Su and also in Anchorage. And I just want to give her kudos for her work. One of my questions was identical to Senator Begich's as far as the economically disadvantaged in that breakout. But I'd also like to know what is the benchmark or criteria for economically disadvantaged, because you've got 53% of your student population in that category. So I'm just curious about that. And then the other data piece I was interested in was, as I recall the hearing we had over the summer on this subject, there was a little bit of a look at what was happening nationally, and some of the states were able to show that they had increasing numbers of first-generation college attendees participating. And so I'm just wondering if you're tracking that. So that's just kind of a little addendum to Senator Begich's question, and then I have two other quick questions.
Thank you, Senator. That's a very good point about the first generation. It'd be good to know that information, too. Please go ahead.
So I wondered if you could speak to whether the reporting requirement in the bill is something you could easily do, or if that's a burdensome, unfunded mandate for you. And secondly, are there any costs that your students bear? You pick up books and transportation. Are there any costs that students are bearing?
To answer your questions, the data are not difficult. We like to track many things, and we have self-reported the students in regard to first-generation college students, so we can also provide the committee with that. I concur with the support of Kathy Moffitt. I believe she's probably listening online now. And we can provide that. And, the fees – I can drill down. I believe some lab fees, depending on the courses that students take, are paid. Of course, there's parking fees, things like that, that we support. It really depends on the individual courses, because the picture of the middle college isn't that students are entering in a cohort. They really, once they enter, they take a look at, do you want an associate's degree? Some of our students know that they already want a bachelor's degree or try for that, so they're taking specific courses towards maybe a biology degree or a math degree, and those sciences would be different. So our students are actually sitting with other students that are college-bound, that are right on campus, college campus. So I'd really have to – we could drill down into find out the different fees and the courses for which they're taking. But one of the biggest issues that we had, we do have in our system where we purchase textbooks. And so when – we have English 111. We have worked with the university, which was a roadblock at first, that every new semester they'd have a new list of books for English 111. And if we purchase them, we collect them back from students so that we can use them for the next students who take that course in English 111. But at the time, the university was just changing books every quarter or every semester, rather. And that becomes expensive, as was already shared. The college books are quite spendy. So we've worked with the university to really narrow that if you have a course in English 111, can you really narrow your textbooks that you're asking us to, or select professors that like to use the same books? Because that was a challenge for us. We purchased hundreds of books, thousands of dollars, and then the next semester they weren't the books that they selected. So this isn't, again, without challenges, but they're all things that you take a look at and resolve as it comes forward. But at this point in time, you know, the data, we really believe that once you know better, you do better, and you got to know it to grow it. So we're not collecting the data on any of these things to understand more about our students and their desires and how things are working. It's not difficult for us.
Senator Hughes.
Thank you. And there's one little piece, and that maybe I missed it, but I asked if you could give us the criteria for economically disadvantaged. What's the benchmarking for that?
Oh, sure. Thank you, Senator. Actually, the representative from DEED can do that. It's actually a federally established program run through the state. Primarily, it's on free and reduced lunch qualifications, but those qualifications can be provided by DEED right on site there.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll go to Senator Begich and Senator Costello. I just wanted to point out, though, that many states and universities are moving towards online textbooks, which saves a lot of money and can be done just as easily as using some expensive textbooks that change every year. Senator Birch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good to hear from you, Dr. Bishop, and appreciate your good work in this area. The impact, and I kind of view this as another tool in the toolkit, but the impact of on our 48,000 students in the Anchorage School District is about 0.5%. So it's a fairly modest number of students. But how does briefly, how does it work? Does the student, we have a number of high schools, do they pick up and move to a campus and then take a class in campus embedded with other students and on campus, or do they go to a central location? For those of us that are not familiar with how the program, the middle school or the middle college program is working now in the district, can you give me a minute on how that's working now through the chair?
Sure. It isn't a one-size-fits-all. That's a great question, Senator. We continue, any student that's interested in college-level courses, they can take it through AP or IB at their home school. They can continue and enroll in their home high school. If they want an experience of high school on a college campus, they would enroll in as a student of the Alaska Middle College, and they would continue to have one foot in their home high school for those wraparound services, if you will, of the high school life, of the prom, and maybe individual courses at their high school that they'd like to take that wouldn't be offered at the middle college. But the middle college would be their school. It's located at the university campus, and they can get a ride because the university campus for us is located next to King Tech High School. And they can, if they wanted to, they can ride a bus, you know, their traditional bus to their high school, and then take the King Tech bus to King Tech and then walk over to university. So we do provide transportation if they want it. However, most of our juniors and seniors either ride the city bus or have their own cars and get to the university. And so that is their school. They're there all day if they choose. Their schedule's flexible because they create the schedule at the college level. They can only enter the courses, though, if they're college ready. So we promise that kids are college ready. And they can do that in the math science area with the ALEKS or ACT or SAT. And then the ALEKS is the local assessment, if you will, that the University of Alaska uses. And it's a math assessment. And depending on their score, they are placed in college level. If they are in a remedial class, they are not qualified for the middle college. In that case, we would build capacity on the high school side right at the middle college because we have a classroom on campus that we continue to teach the high school course to build the skills needed to be able to pass the ALEKS to then take math courses. For the English social studies side and social science side, they take what's called the ACCUPLACER. And the same thing exists. They can take the ACCUPLACER, take an SAT or ACT, and whatever the entrance level is for a college-level course. Now, the University of Alaska system allows you to walk in anyone, and they have open enrollment. However, for the middle college, there is a minimum requirement of college-level, college-bearing course, credit-bearing courses. So they would take that ACCUPLACER if they scored well enough. They can then go into a college course in the social sciences. If they still needed help on the math side, we would teach them math on the math side with a teacher on campus. So the goal here is that we want children to take risk, but not so much that they lose credit in high school. So we watch their progress. We communicate with their college advisors on their progress, that they're moving forward. Again, because the goal is to have high school graduation at the same time you're earning college credits. Many of our students, the mean course number of credits they earn is about between 35 and 45, but those students that are really go-getters, they end up getting 60 or more. However, a high school student who graduates even with one college course completed, even 3 hours with success, we're successful then because we have college-ready students leaving Anchorage School District. So the middle college itself is an on-campus, but that doesn't preclude students from taking courses at their high schools as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Dr. Bishop.
One more option. It's not for everyone, but for those who like it, it's really great for them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Dr. Bishop, for your testimony and for explaining the logistics of the program. Thank you,
Senator Birch. Senator Costello.
Thank you, Dr. Bishop. This is Mia. First of all, I want to say I really appreciate that you take time every fall to meet with me. I really enjoy sitting down with you to talk about what's happening in the Anchorage School District. My question dovetails on a question I asked Dr. Johnson when he was before the Senate Education Committee, which was about coding, and the department is taking a real hard look at opportunities for our students to become coders. My question to you is, does computer science count as math credit in the Anchorage School District? And if not, is that something that we could consider?
Senator, that's a great question. I will look into that, and I am in agreement that if it doesn't, it should. It should also count towards the performance scholarship for Alaska as a math course as well. So I don't want to speak out of turn because there's many different from computer science to coding courses to understanding which ones are credits or not. But we'll get that those data back to you. And there is a major push by our school board to look at the opportunity for all students to learn to code in AFC.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bishop. So it's just a question I'd like to ask. I think each district will approach this differently and have a different way of handling a middle college. In talking with Larry Ledoux at Kodiak Schools, Kodiak, he says that he believes that many of the classes will be on his campus at his high school, but also some will be on the college campus as well. So could you sort of help clarify that? You will be using, or you have been using some of your teachers, actually qualified teachers, to do college classes. Could you just discuss that a little bit with us?
Sure. So, excuse me. There's several models, and the Alaska Middle College is specifically the place-based model, where the students go and experience the power of the place, which is the University of Campus. I do want to share that University of Alaska has provided a great experience because we find upwards of 75% of the students in the middle college stay with the University of Alaska. The majority of them actually, a good portion rather, head up to UAS. We do have some students choosing UAS and then others that stay right in Anchorage, So the power of the place and the experiences that the university offers is great. If they're choosing it when they don't have to, when they leave us, it's a good thing. So we create within our state that workforce and that opportunity to stay home, which a lot of our families appreciate, moms and dads, and giving the kids the understanding that it's a good program. But we also have, it's interesting because a lot of our high school teachers that teach during the day are the adjunct teachers for college-level courses anyway at the college at night. So we do offer in some of our schools the opportunity to take English 111 or a math class for credit that's college credit as a single course, similar to an advanced placement math course or an IB math course or an AP literature course. It's just a singleton course that I can still stay in my high school and get credit right while I sit in the seat of my high school. I can get dual credit. So we have actually both of those opportunities going on. And again, these opportunities, this bill will help opportunities for just our districts to sit down and say, whom are the students I'm serving and how might we best meet their needs through the Alaska system? And it's going to depend on, as Senator Begich mentioned, your resources. What do we have available to us? What can we afford, if you will? What are our constraints in regard to bandwidth? Things like that. So it really starts with, who you are. And I know that Kodiak is really doing an innovative program, a new program. I'm excited to learn about it. Not everything has to look the same, and that's the beauty of Alaska and choice that we provide. But this bill simply offers the opportunity that says, let's do this for all our kids, and it's exciting. But again, we need to support each other, and we need the resources, as already stated. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bishop. It's great to hear from you. Appreciate all that you've done. Thank you so much. So before we go on, my staff is always trying to keep me on schedule here, and I appreciate that. We have several folks that would like to testify. We're sort of going a little beyond the time we had scheduled, but I think that's okay. If folks can stay a little bit later, we might go a little bit later. Great. Just to point out to people who are listening, if we don't get to public testimony, the public testimony will stay open. If we run out of time, we'll find time in the future to at a regular education committee meeting to make sure that we hear from you and hear what your thoughts are. So we'll get through as much as we can, and it's been great information. I've certainly appreciated all the testimony so far. Let's move on to Dr. Monica Goyette. She's the superintendent of the Mat-Su School District. Dr. Goyette, if you're with us, please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Senator Stevens, Hughes, Bankich, Costello, and Birch. I'm really excited to share our evolution of the middle college program. And I echo Senator Hughes. We are the recipients of this. I am from Dr. Bishop and Kathy Moffitt. They were the visionaries of this program and the first one in the state of Alaska. So I'll be careful as we're going through this slide. I'm on the presentation overview to give you a history of the evolution of Mat-Su Middle College, paint a picture of our program design and what our student outcomes are, because I believe everything we should be accountable in education, and so the things that we do for our communities and our students, we should have outcomes, and if they're not positive outcomes, what our measures are going to be to improve those. And then our support for Senate Bill 30 with a language revision recommendation. So as you move on to the next page, this started out with a partnership with the University of Alaska. It opened up in 2011, and we did prioritize the original vision and spirit was first-generation college students. And we have not reached capacity yet in our program, and I have some enrollment data. And so we haven't had to prioritize that. If we reached a point where we were having to only take a certain amount of students, then that would be one of our entrance exams or entrance priorities. In terms of our initially, when we opened the program, we were based on just a general fee. So any students between 76 and 175, it was a flat fee. And we did, of course, it was in Eagle River, so we did do contracted transportation. And it was through legislative funds that really allowed us to expand the Eagle River campus. We were able to improve their student unions and their classrooms, and did that through legislative support. And then we did transition our campus. Mat-Su College opened their doors to us in 2018, and so at that time, Anchorage School District took over the Alaska Middle College, and we became the Mat-Su Middle College. It was really important to our school board that the investment and the structures that had been built in the Alaska Middle College in Eagle River stayed there for those students so that students could continue to access that. So if you move on to the enrollment slide, you can see this started off as a very small program with 47 students, and each year it grew. And that red bar is when it moved from the Eagle River as the Alaska Middle College. Then in 2018 and 2019, it moved to the Mat-Su Middle College. And to give you some idea of demographics, our ethnicity, all of our ethnicity groups, African American, Asian, all match equally in enrollment. We are under-enrolled in Alaska Natives compared to our population as a whole, but I believe that that is in large part due to the fact that we have the an ANSEP accelerated high school, which is a form of a middle college program, and we have 40 Native Alaskan students in that program. And so combined, then that group is more represented. In terms of girls and boys, we have two girls for every male student. And so we're under-enrolled in male representation because our district is almost even in boys and girls. And in free and reduced lunch, this is an area that we need to include our efforts for students that are economically disadvantaged. Our district as a whole is 44%, and the middle college students are 17%. So they're definitely, we need to do targeted outreach in those areas. Moving on to program design, I just want to paint a picture of how structured this is. We are not enrolling students in a college environment and without any structured support. It's very different from what it would look like when they go on campus as a freshman to when they enroll as when they're dually enrolled as a junior and senior. And so we have dedicated a high school counselor on site full time to help with advising, and we also partner with their college advisors. We, of course, the college semester is 16 weeks. The K-12 semester is 18. We use those front weeks to do orientation and to run students through a basic writing course for what the expectations are for scholarly writing at a college level, and get them familiar with the system there, the university system, Blackboard Connect, which is where often they'll post high school or their assignments. And so there's a lot of structured support that goes into it. We do organize. We have a bookstore for students. We pay for all of their books, and I'll talk more about costs later on. We track all of the add, drop, and withdrawal dates to make sure that students are not earning a poor grade on their college transcript. We also have scaffolded support. So their first semester with us, they do basically kind of like an assigned study hall. We have a teacher that's an expert in language arts or English and social studies, and a teacher that's an expert in math and science. And so they're assigned to them, and we track their grades and make sure that they're staying on track. And so as you move another slide to the MatSU personnel, so we have three portables on the MatSU College campus. We pay we paid for the fees and the building of those structures. We paid for the energy costs and the custodial costs. And we have 3.5 staff full time in those portables on campus for our students. An English social studies teacher, a guidance teacher, a principal, a teacher, a math science representative, and then a halftime registrar secretary. So as you turn the page to the MatSU Middle College success, of course, outcomes are the most important thing that we need to know, that this is adding value for students. And when we look at our middle college campus, the MatSU College campus as a whole, on average, their students that earn an A, B, or C, 72% of their students are passing courses. So while in high school we would traditionally and in college consider a D passing, for these percentile rankings, we are talking about an A, B, or C. So 72% of their student body as a whole is earning A, Bs, and Cs. And when we look at our middle college students, 84% as a whole. And this is important. It's difficult for many people to change their mindset that high school students are not ready for college. And we have a vetting process, and we would be the first to say that not every high school student is ready for college. But these are students that have demonstrated through academic achievement, through references from staff, that they're responsible, that they can handle a less structured environment, and through achievement testing, that they are ready. And so we're really proud of that. And something that I think is equally important, and really for parents and students, universities can often report up to 60% of their freshman class dropping out. So imagine you go to a college, Senator Stevens, you mentioned Gonzaga. Your child goes their freshman year, it's $50,000, and they have a 60% chance of dropping out, which means that they'll probably have Fs or drops on their transcript. You'll have debt and not have moved through. We have a 5% dropout rate from one year to the next. So 95% of our students are making it essentially through their freshman and sophomore year in college. And so we think this is incredibly important because not only are they earning credits, we're paying for all those fees, but then when they go to transition on their own with less scaffolded support, that risk for families and parents of attrition is significantly reduced. So for me, that's a huge indicator of success. Moving on to the next page, I want to talk about college testing. And there's two college tests that are primarily used across the nation, the SAT and the ACT. And so I'm going to present data to you that is on the ACT. The maximum score, this is an easier test to understand. It's on a scale of 1 to 36, with the national average, depending on which subgroup or composite, the national average is around 20, 21, so that's around 50. So if you look at the chart here, this is the top school there, is the Matsu Middle College, and then I have the Matsu Borough, Alaska, and the nation. And so just looking at the subtest of English, our middle college students as juniors, this is a test that juniors and seniors take, so while they're still in high school, they their average was a 22.4. So if you look at a 22 on the when you move it to a percentile, that's the 64th percent in the nation. And so that's the average. Our Matsu as a school district is 21. It's in between those. Alaska as a nation is 20, so it's 52. And then the national is also 52. So our students in the middle college are performing 12% above the national and state average. So we're thrilled with that data, and I think it demonstrates that we are selecting students that are ready for college. So if you turn the page then, you can see the same four areas, the middle college, the school district, Alaska, and the nation, and how we're doing in each of the subtests and then the composite. And for the composite only, I did have the percentile equivalent for you. And I do want you to know that for Alaska, we rounded it up from 20.8, we rounded it up to 21. So that the 56th percentile is equivalent of a scale score of 21. 23, I rounded down. So there's even a little bit more disparity there on the composite score. So finally, we hear a lot of discussion about cost. And so I want to talk about the total cost of providing a middle college education to our students. So if you turn the page, you'll see I have three schools here, Wesleyan High School and Colony High School. They are our two largest high schools in our valley, and then the Matsu Middle College. And you can see that Wesleyan High School and Matsu Middle College are very equivalent in cost. We've had some concern even within our local community that we're diverting funds from middle college. We're taking away from needier students. And really, we think that it is very similar in cost, and it's an excellent use of taxpayer dollars. It's really a win-win because we're helping families financially in their future. College, as you know, is incredibly expensive. And so just so you know, tuition, we now pay just a flat fee. The evolution of middle college and the financial structure has come a long way. I think this bill helps to support that standardization. Tuition is $212 per credit for lower level courses. Fees can be 10 to 12% of the total cost of tuition. On average, our books range about $750 a month. And we do provide transportation, so students across our valley take their can take a bus to their home school, and then all throughout the day we have buses running up and down our core and even our outlying areas to bring students into our schools of choice. So the middle college, career and tech, a student that maybe is attending Palmer High that wants to go over to Colony High for JROTC can do that. So it's a bus, and we pay for all those fees, and we pay for a Chromebook, because Senator Stevens, you are correct, that many textbooks now are going to be e-textbooks. So we pay for the full cost of going to college for our families. So in closing, I just really support the spirit of this bill. I'm excited that these opportunities might be available to more students. Our recommendation in our district is that shall and will language changes to may because of the variables by district. Access can be a variable. And we want to remember that many of our distance courses through our university systems are in the evenings to accommodate working adults, and which means that students would have even less scaffolded support. There are financial barriers to some districts. We have experts in college-level math and science, English and social studies that districts would need access to make sure that they can provide that financial support. And, of course, the most important thing that I'm going to close on that Dr. Perumal really talked about is your students' needs. This is not about enrolling any student in college. It would be a travesty if we were mass enrolling students that were not prepared, and then somehow they internalized that as a failure and felt like maybe in the future that college was not something that could be available to them. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Dr. Goyette. We're not going to have time to get into questions, but we may we're going to reschedule, and I really apologize for the time it's taken, but we've learned so much, and I appreciate everyone's testimony. I do apologize to Melissa Halfman from the Kodiak Middle School, Dr. Mel Levan from the high school in Kodiak, Dr. Larry Ledoux from the superintendent of the Borough School District, and also Dr. Lisa Parody from the Alaska Council of School Administrators, that we simply couldn't get to that. We will try to schedule this next week and hopefully get you back. Apologize for this delay, and also want to let folks know that we'll also be taking public testimony. So if you have comments the public wants to make, we're more than happy to listen to them. This has been a great meeting. Yes, Senator Hughes.
Dr. Goyette, would Dr. Goyette be coming back so we could ask questions, or would you like me to submit those in writing?
Dr. Goyette, would you be available? We'll try to schedule a meeting when it's comfortable for you, but would you be available to come back and talk to us? I take that as a yes. I'm sure she will. Well, thank you all very much. We're adjourned.